T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pete Futek, college football news with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Pete, how you doing?
I am fine. How are you guys doing?
We're looking forward to the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla
Yes,
Bowl
sir.
Tonight.
Pete, it's the best time of the year.
I love that name.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We had Dan Orlovsky on earlier who's going to be calling the game, and I got the impression from him that South Florida is going to get crushed by Marshall. That was my impression from him.
I have that gut feeling too. We've been pretty on so far in these bowl games. They've been, if I'm getting them right, that must mean they're kind of predictable. Been able to nail them all so far. I'm just hoping for, I'm ready for the big boys to kind of play. I know this is elitist, and I know I run a site that sprays all fields, and we love all college football teams the same, but I'm ready for the Power Fivers to kick it in. And, you know, I know people are, you know, there's the anti expansion of playoff people out there, and I do get it too.
Those people are the worst.
I do get it if you know the people who are like, no, we shouldn't just expand to 8, you know, unless there's a college, unless there's a conference championship element to it. However, how awesome would last Saturday have been if it was the first round? If we're talking Washington travels to Alabama, UCF goes to Clemson, if, say, you know, Ohio State would go to Notre Dame, and then Georgia and Oklahoma would play off in the home field of those four teams on last Saturday, and then all the bowl games, you could still just move up and just have a glut throughout the week. It just isn't that hard to do, and it just would have been so, so awesome.
But we don't have those coming right away, Pete. We've got the Potato Bowl. We got the Toledo game. I don't know what bowl game they're playing. Toledo in FIU tomorrow, and then you know
that is the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl.
They changed the name from Popeyes to Makers Wanted Bahama Bowl.
There it is.
Damn it! It's better when it's Bahamas Bowl.
It's better than Popeyes Bowl, absolutely. So the point with all these other bowl games is, what if you're interested in bowls? If you're not a gambler and you're just a college football, if you're a gambler, then these things are gold. If you're just a college football fan with the glut that are of the bowl games that are coming, just kind of watch. If it's interesting, stick with it. If it's boring, get out, because there's going to be another one coming very soon. And just sheer numbers, you're going to get a couple of good games here and there. I mean, the Georgia Southern win over Eastern Michigan was certainly entertaining enough. I mean, that's bowl game fun. You know, so sometimes you get some big games and they're fun like that, but yeah, I'm kind of getting ready for the big boys to get in this and start playing.
All right, well, let's get to that. I mean, what do you consider the first? Is Miami, Wisconsin the first big boys, or do they not count because they're both 7-5? Is it West Virginia, Syracuse, maybe?
Yeah, I need Power Fivers. I need Power Five teams again. Like Fresno State, Arizona State felt big because Mountain West champ versus a Pac-12 team. So that at least felt a little. That felt like a game that America might watch on a regular Saturday afternoon. Whereas, you know, Ohio versus San Diego State, all right, I would watch that, but I'm the only one. So you want the ones that people are going to care about in general. But what the bigger overall issue that's happening now is that, one, people are finally figuring out that bowl games are now true exhibitions in the college football playoff era. Back in the bowl and poll their era in the BCS days, winning your bowl game was kind of cool because, hey, you know, you might end up in the, you know, the top 15, or you might end up, you know, in the top 25 or something like this. Now it's like, doesn't really matter. So the problem becomes you have half of Michigan who has no interest in playing against Florida. You have Will Grier sitting out. You have, you know, the guys who are skipping bowl games, and rightly so. But they're just kind of going to show that, why am I playing in this game if it doesn't really matter at the end of the day?
Well, let's talk about the first bowl game that has two ranked teams, at least, Pete. The Camping World Bowl, which is West Virginia-Syracuse, 1 week from tomorrow.
Take the over.
Take the over? Are you with that? You agree with that? The over
if,
in that
if
one?
If you believe in Jack Allison, there's your new West Virginia quarterback in this game. And
yeah.
That's where I am. I'm 100% for players skipping bowl games and saving themselves and their investment because they just should. However, if you're Will Grier, you're not a first-round draft pick. And we all know, you know, that even the hardest of NFL draft scouts fall for the shiny objects. They all will look at a big bowl performance, and that might be enough just to move them up a couple slots or just be the last thing. There are 350 free yards there to be had by Will Grier against Syracuse. He could have really sort of had one nice big statistical game. Not that there's enough tape on him already, but that one last shot would have just shown just a little bit more if you needed it. Couldn't have hurt him unless he's freaking out about Alex Smith or Mackenzie Milton, doesn't want something like that to happen. But that would have been a game that he probably should have played just to up his stock a little bit more. So if you believe in Jack Allison, then yeah, that should be fun because it's exactly what you want in a bowl game. You want lots and lots and lots of points. You do not want defensive struggles in these things.
Pete, as we look at some other games of note here, I kind of think Michigan's going to fall flat on their face in this game with all those players not playing on defense against Florida in the Peach Bowl on December 29th. That's kind of the teaser for the college football semifinals that day. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree only for this reason. If you're playing the guys who are thinking about should I or shouldn't be playing, they might not be going at full tilt. And you might not have the full and total concentration of the guys, and they might be playing a little scared, might be playing just to save themselves. Yes, of course, you'd rather have Devin Bush and Cron Higdon in there, but their backups are going to be jacked. So you're going to get Michigan-level players who are going to care, and now they've had time to prepare, and they are going to be really fired up to play in that game. And that's half the battle when it comes to these bowl games. Who's going to focus? Who's going to want to play a big game? Who's going to want to come up with a big performance? So sometimes the backups in these things do just fine.
Pete, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, we talked about, I think we're all in favor of an 18 playoff for college football. Dustin in the past has said he'd be happy with a 16-team playoff. And I was thinking about what you said about how, like, these games, it's so obvious now that the rest of these games are just, you know, bad exhibition games or in some cases bad. And, like, you know, as much as we want eight, like, is this thing going to continue to grow? Does it reach a number where it's bad for the sport? Would 16 be bad? I mean, I've always thought eight was a good number, but if the bowl games stink, maybe 16. I don't know. Where does it become a problem?
I don't see this being the slippery slope that a lot of people want to make it out to be. But, oh, well, if you have eight, well, then it's going to be a 16, and now we're going to have an NCAA basketball tournament of 65 teams getting in. Maybe way down the road. But for right now, the difference being, as long as you're saying it's got to be the conference champion to get in, if you're just saying it's the top eight teams ranked by the College Football Playoff Committee, then no. Then now you're taking away the meaning of the college football regular season. Now you're taking away why college football tends to be so great because the season matters so much. But the problem with the sport right now is you can't play your way in necessarily. You know, Ohio State won the Big Ten championship. They should be in a playoff of some sort when you're the champion of the second best conference in college football.
That's right.
So the fact that they're out, the fact that we right now know for a fact that about 70 or so teams are eliminated in the 2019, 20, and 21 national championship chases before the season even starts. You know, like the UCF couldn't do anything, you know, deserved or not, that they at least don't get a shot to play their way in. Mm-hmm. So I think the only way this works is if you keep it to eight, again, five Power Five conference champs, top group of five conference champs, and then two wild cards. The wild cards still matter. This year would be Georgia and Notre Dame. Michigan would be screaming and yelling, but too bad, you lost to Notre Dame and got blown out by Ohio State. So it still would mean something to be one of those wild cards. And if you can't fit into any of that criteria, then you don't belong in. And the regular season not only matters, all of a sudden the conference championship games become massive. It becomes even more important than it ever was. It wouldn't be like college basketball where the sport just doesn't exist until mid-March. You would have a real regular season that you know you can play your way into something massive, something big.
You know, LSU should kill UCF in the bowl game. I think they're like a 7-point favorite. But I don't know. I kind of feel like UCF's still playing with this chip on their shoulder. You think you give them a puncher's chance to win that game?
Of course. I mean, because they are fired up. And as much as you want to tell LSU players, yeah, we got kids. They're 18 to 22-year-old kids. They're still going to have to go out there and play. They don't really have much of a passing game. They're already without Greedy Williams, your top. But UCF's playing with a backup quarterback. Of course, there's going to be a whole lot of reasons there. I am of two minds on this. There's the one side that is just ready for the argument to stop and just go, please, LSU, go out there and 49-3 them. And there's the other side of me. It's kind of like, you know what? UCF, you go do this already. Just keep doing it. Have your fun. Let's keep, bucking the system here a little bit. So it is going to be a fascinating game just to see, one way or the other, which side of the UCFers are going to live on after that day.
Pete, let's wrap it up with the college football playoff because we won't talk to you between now and then. At 4 p.m., of course, we have the Cotton Bowl with Notre Dame and Clemson, and then the Orange Bowl, Oklahoma, Alabama. Who will win those games? And I'm not sure we'll have you on before the national. We'll probably have you on before the national championship, right, Keith?
I'm around. Yeah. I'm going to the Orange Bowl.
All right, so we'll have you on before that.
To a thing, and give me a holler. I'm good. The one thing I've not prepared my soul for is the idea of Notre Dame doing anything. Like, okay, if you were to say that Oklahoma shocked Alabama because Kyler Murray went off and it was a shootout and they couldn't handle the offense, yeah, I could see that. It's happened before with Johnny Manziel and Ole Miss went off 1 year. It could happen. But the idea of Notre Dame doing anything massive, I just have not seen that yet. However, Clemson hasn't beaten anybody for a while. They struggled against Texas A&M in that one good game, and that was it. The ACC is hot garbage this year. They just don't have another really good win. So while it's easy to say, okay, of course it's going to be Clemson and Alabama, I don't know. I'm not 100% certain that Notre Dame's not going to come up with some sort of a decent performance, even though they're going against a run D that gives up 2.9 yards per carry, and they're going to have to run the ball to win.
Pete, happy holidays, man. We'll talk to you in the new year. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Absolutely. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, all right, Pete Fiutek, always great to chat with him. College football news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.